Tarma, hi, David.
What's up, Kevin?
Another week.
Yes.
It doesn't stop.
Nope, never.
No, it really doesn't. I know this is not your opinion. I want to do more than one a week. That's not a good idea, though.
What do you mean?
I just love it. I love coming here.
Why you put words in my mouth?
No, I'm asking. But we can't do that, though.
It's just, oh, more, it's a lot. More than one day a week?
I want to stay in this space just talking to some of my favorite people.
I hope the next space is a spaceship.
I know. It will be.
As spaceshipy.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. We have a really, are you doing well, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
We have a lot of people in the building tonight.
I know, hella people.
I know, which is good. It feels good, though, to have, like, so many folks. We have a lot of folks in the building. Too many to mention, I feel like, but...
They all lit, though.
I know, yeah, super, super turned. If you knew who was in the room, you'd be like, oh, shit, that's like a VIP club. Or not. But, I mean, I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited. I know you had a big day. I know you had a long day.
Yes.
Just, like, kind of constantly did not stop.
Yes.
So salutes and cheers.
Thanks.
You know, and congrats on all the stuff today. I don't know if you want to.
No, not really. It's mm-hmm. fine. It's not about me. Always, Kevin.
Folks, thanks. Folks will see. Folks will see. But our guest this evening, yo man. I mean, it's just like one of my favorite artists in the world. Someone who, you know, I've obviously is a you know, street and graffiti artist who has taken his practice inside of the studio. I feel like also a poet of the canvas, and I want to talk about that and the kind of the narrative, you know, inside of your work. Kind of most known for, you know, the Bird Boy mask, someone who is not from Chicago, but in the time that he's been here has certainly put on for the city and put on for Latino culture, Latinx culture, someone who I admire both the grind and the craft, you know, one of the nicest to do it. Scent Rock in the corner store.
Woo!
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, wait. What happened to your app?
I have it. I didn't use it.
Yeah,
but,
you never use it.
How you feel, man?
Yo, what's up? I'm good. I'm feeling good.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me.
But before anything...
Thank you for the introduction, by the way. That was dope.
True.
No, man. It's real.
Kevin's always good with the introduction.
We do have some snacks for you. Provided by Marlena, the snack provider, who is currently, like... mean mugging me while eating mango. I don't know what's going on there.
She probably thinking about the guy you yelled at.
I know. Also the mango. Yo, also boycott Walgreens. At the Wrigley building. Boycott Walgreens at the Wrigley building. That's all I'm saying. So we have some snacks for you, man, provided by Marlena. Feel free. Yeah, our snackstress, the snack provider. We have just to kick it off proper, we have some Crunchy Curls y Limón. The sizzling hot brand. I hope you enjoy them. Yeah, man. I think you'll like those. We also have some original fruit Mike and Ike's. I don't know what your dentistry plan is like, but I hope you protect your teeth.
I just had my wisdom tooth pulled.
Okay, so be careful, man.
Yeah,
don't.
Wait, but just like how long ago?
Well, Friday.
Oh, okay. You should wait.
So it was a weekend.
Yeah, no, yeah. You shouldn't eat those. You should just probably maybe share them or throw them away. Also, we have a lemon lime soda. It's a Sprite.
Quench my thirst.
I know, to quench your thirst. Wow, yeah. Nice on brand. Also, get them a record deal. This is garbage. Okay, there you go, man.
This is garbage. Yeah. Why?
No, it's good. It's good. Salutes to all the folks who provided snacks.
Thank you for this.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of snacks in competition tonight.
I know. Yeah, Marlena.
Who's won? Those were Marlena's.
No, they were Kevin's.
Yeah, the other Kevin?
Yeah. We have a lot of folks in the building. And,
Spicy Kevin.
Anyway, yo, my man, thank you for being here. How are you? How was your day?
Good. I was in the studio most of the day. Working on a lot of stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, but not the recording studio, which a lot of our guests are a part of. Where is your studio? And maybe talk a little about the space that you make in.
Yeah, I stay on Kedzie and Cermak. And visual artist studio. I just have a extra room at my house that I dedicate to all my art and everything I create. From canvas to drawings to digital stuff. Right now, I'm doing a lot of more like 3D stuff, sculpture, like mini sculptures, like toy vinyl stuff, sculpture that I'm getting ready for a show I got coming up.
Where? When?
It'll be at Gallery F the end of the summer.
Tight.
So yeah, it takes me about 2-3 months to kind of build up a good body of work that I'm proud of, and then release it.
And salutes to Gallery F and Billy and that whole squad.
Right,
and
they holding me down. And you've
rocked with them for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they show me love, so
right.
It's only right to work with them.
So I'm curious about the makerspace, you know, and that's something that we've talked about a lot, just like the, you know, kind of the minutia of what is actually in your studio and in
but
your space and in your practice.
Aren't we getting ahead of ourselves?
We are, but we'll go back.
Okay,
we'll go
fine,
back.
Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
What is actually in your studio? Like, what do? Is it tidy?
Mess.
Is it
it's
yeah?
Just a mess.
Is it?
Yeah. I
canvas
keep it
paint
clean,
everywhere.
I feel like that helps me start something. But during the process, it just turns into a big mess because it's like I don't have time to go back and forth on cleaning. But there's paint everywhere, sketches taped up to my wall everywhere, canvases that I've started but never finished, spray cans, probably over 100 spray cans. Just a bunch of that, sketches and ideas. Just a room full of ideas and possibilities that never... Haven't come to fruition yet.
Not yet.
Is it like a big space, or do you shut the door on the studio?
It's not a big space. It's like
a room.
15 by 15. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a room. Yeah.
And also, you're married.
Mm-hmm.
So is your wife allowed in that space, or what goes on?
I mean, she's allowed.
She, right, of course, because she
can
go where
she wishes. I'm gonna go wherever I want, anyways.
Right.
Listen,
exactly.
You asked a question. I don't know why you're looking at me.
Damn.
But
all right, my bad.
I don't know what's going on over here between you two. But
so many things.
But yeah, I try to keep it, you know, sacred space. Like I don't want to keep my dirty clothes in there. I don't want to turn into a storage room. Like, it has to be a room for creating and creativity.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like. Do you have a writing space?
No, my writing space is like my bed, my desk, my couch, the table in the living room.
Yeah,
you know, I prefer my room, but
yeah. So I wonder about that for creatives. Like,
well,
where,
you have your desk, right?
I have my desk, yeah. But and that is also a sacred space for me, you know. And I wonder about that for folks and where folks seek to create and you know, the space that, you know, engenders that kind of mindset, maybe. You know, do you put on music when you write? Do you like incense? You like, you know, pour out some rum? Like, what goes
all
on?
All that,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever makes me feel more comfortable. Music, for sure. That's number one.
What's been your go-to recently?
Nipsey Hussle.
Oh, the new
I'm a big fan
tape.
Of, you know, I'm from Phoenix, West Coast, so.
Right.
Yeah, Nipsey Hussle right now has been nonstop.
So let's talk about where you're from. Like, where you were born in Phoenix?
Yep, born and raised, West Phoenix.
Yeah, and West Phoenix is, you know, so, I mean, West Phoenix is interesting. Who is there in West Phoenix? I was there not too long ago, and I hung with one of your guys, actually took me around, the photographer there, St. Tiger on the Gram.
Yeah,
super, super chill, good dude, and talented photographer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what is West Phoenix like?
West Phoenix, it's like, if you ever go to Little Village or Pilsen, for anybody in Chicago, is very Mexican, like, that's all it is it's a very Mexican neighborhood. You know, if you're cruising down 35th Avenue, where I was born, it's like taquerias, llanterias, corner stores. You have families, kids, school. It's a family neighborhood, and there's not too much like corporate stuff other than like fast food spots here and there, but I don't know. It's very West Coast vibe, very Southwest. It's a hood for sure.
Yeah. And who did you come up with? I mean, you came up with your folks, siblings. Who else?
Right.
Yeah. What did they do?
What did my folks do?
Mm.
My pop. I don't know. My pop. He works in like a warehouse. But growing up, he was like a entrepreneur, I guess. You know, he's out there in the streets. And my mom, same thing. My mom hasn't had a stable job probably my entire life. Like, she's done everything from, like, basically everything.
Like what?
My mom or my pops?
Either, both.
My pops, I get a lot of my, like, my hustle motivation from my pops, because He you know, did his thing, sold drugs a lot, in and out of prison my entire life. My mom, When she had me, I think she was working at Jack in the Box. You guys don't have that out here, but it's a fast food spot.
Oh, yeah, that's St. Louis.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I'm from,
So, and then my mom recently, I think she was selling like Mary Kay, like makeup. So
right, yeah.
Those are the ones with the pink cars, right?
Like, yeah, my mom's always trying to sell something. So I think maybe that's where I get a little bit of my like ambition, like to always just hustle and grind from them.
True.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. And siblings?
I got three brothers, three sisters. Yeah. The oldest is like 27. The youngest is 17. Yeah.
Right. And so you're where in the mix?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest?
Yeah, I'm a mama's boy because I was the first.
Right.
So me and my mom, like, you know, I'm her rider, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you have to look out for the you know, your siblings coming up?
Yeah, I did because I was the oldest. I mean, they don't want to admit it, but I was definitely, you know, their babysitter a lot of the times, and I try to be a good example for them, just knowing like the position that I was in and you know the life that we had. So
yeah, and you know what I know of West Phoenix and particularly what your man's kind of show me, it is kind of like, you know, similar to the communities here. Mm-hmm. As a kid, what kind of young person were you? I mean, as you began to, you know, evolve and get into, you know, even towards high school, like what were you doing? Who were you hanging with? What were your interests?
As a kid, I was super quiet kid up until like fourth grade. Like I wouldn't talk, like I wouldn't even talk to like my family. I wouldn't, wouldn't say a word. Like up until like fourth grade, then I started being like a class clown, messing around all the time. And then middle school, same thing, got into a lot of trouble. Just messing around, class clown type of stuff, you know, being a little knucklehead. And then high school, same thing. I got into graffiti, and I got into b-boy, and I got into, like, that hip-hop culture, which was, like, I still got my fair share of trouble with that, but I feel like it was positive trouble compared to, like, you know, what I could have been doing, so, yeah.
Right.
That was a pretty prevalent culture in Phoenix, like, the b-boying and the graffiti, pretty big.
graffiti, yes. B-boying, not so much. That was still like a subculture, which I feel like it still is even here, like Chicago. It's big, has its roots, but it's still a subculture.
Right.
And I got into it because I felt like since we got into graffiti, we're like, oh, now we got to know all the elements. We got to know how to freestyle. We got to know how to DJ. So we just picked up breaking. Mostly because of the West Coast culture, you have a lot of like car shows every other, like probably every weekend, there's something going on. And pop locking was really big. So I would see my cousins, they would do a lot of pop locking, breaking on like, to like, you know, like popping beats. And so I just picked it up from there, wanting to be like my older cousins. But graffiti was more my first love.
So
of course,
yeah. So, but you know, scent dances. I mean,
I
right?
Still like, break.
Still break.
Here and there. I mean, I'm still kind of rusty, but yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like I've seen you get down. I feel like you're pretty nice.
Yeah, I got a little style, yeah.
So did you dabble in the freestyling and the DJing?
Well, not DJing, just because I think that's harder. You have to have turntables and mixer and all that. But yeah, freestyling, you know, when you're just with your homies, just messing around, yeah.
Well, I mean, I want to know, like, when you came to Chicago and why.
I don't know if it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay, so there's a chunk of time between where you're still in Phoenix. Like, after high school.
So I came here, like, 5 years ago because my excuse, at least to my family, was I'm going to art school.
Mm.
But it was really, I just wanted to leave. It's like I felt like I knew everything about West Phoenix. And to me, that was my world. Like, that's where I grew up. So my family's from. My mom, my uncles, my grandfather. And I was just like, man, I need to see something different. Like, there has to be more. And so I moved out here. And I enrolled in school just to tell people, like, I'm moving away because I'm going to art school, you know, doing big things. Which I was. I did go to Columbia for a year. Then I dropped out. But, yeah.
Damn, everyone drops out of Columbia.
Everyone on the show basically went to Columbia and then left Columbia.
They do like a year, then they get hit with that bill, then they're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, in some ways, Columbia like needs to figure out a different program. You know?
Well, I think Columbia's dope, but like for me, I just wanted to be a part of the creative culture. And I feel like Columbia was its own. It was like two different things. Mm. Once I started realizing like the galleries and the writers and artists that are doing dope stuff, like it wasn't in school.
So I wanna ask why Chicago, but even prior to that, who introduced you to graffiti? Because you have to kind of get ushered into the culture often.
True.
So what was your foray into that space?
Me and my homie were just chilling. I went to his house. He lived on the south side. I went to his house and we went in his backyard, and his whole backyard was just full of tags, full of bombs, and his older brother was into it. So I remember me and him were just like, he was telling me about it, and I was like, yo, this is super raw, like, let's go out. So that night, we went out with a pocket full of, like, Sharpie markers, and we had no clue. We were just, like, catching tags on, you know, with markers.
What even were you writing?
Come on,
early names. You must remember some early names.
Like, Arrow was one of my first names.
How'd you spell it?
A-E-R-O. I went through a lot of names. It was a lot of goofy stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then, me and him got into it. I think it was, like, sophomore year. And I was just always just, I love the idea of being able to create, but then also being able to go out and create your own rules and all that. Like, it was an adrenaline rush. My homie's older brother did it. I just got exposed to it. No one really taught me. I just saw it and I picked it up because I just loved art since I was a kid.
And you got better through practice? I mean, just the repetition of going out and doing it.
Yeah, just keep doing it. Yeah. You just love it. You keep doing it. So you try to get better and better. And of course, you don't want nobody to think you're whack, so.
Did you have influences, though, even from, you know, the other writers in West Phoenix, other writers from the internet or that you would see in film or anything like that?
As far as internet, it was a lot of MSK, like Saber, Revoke, all those guys.
Yeah.
That was like, when I was a teenager, they were killing it.
Yeah.
We just looked up to them, like, you know. Like
also a West Coast movement, too, you know.
Yeah, they had their own style. Like, we have our own style. Like, it's really, like, jagged and sharp and all these little, like, cuts.
Do you think in part it's because of West Coast Latino calligraphy, you know, some of the old style, like, you know, like Cholo mm-hmm. script even? I mean, I feel like that's where they're taking some of those sharp turns from in the fonts and the letters.
I mean, I can't say for everyone, but I would say so for sure. Like, you got Chaz Bojorquez, one of the first
master,
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
and you listen to his story and where he came from and why he did it. It's along the same vein, yep.
Yeah. So you're out here writing, Scent Rock, the name.
Scent Rock.
Comes from that time, or you took that name prior
it came from that time, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was writing a bunch of little names, and then I got caught doing graffiti, someone ratted on me, you know. So
damn.
My boy was like, yo, you got to write a new name, because now the cops are after you, the feds, they know you.
What name?
It was probably Arrow or something goofy. You know? Yeah. I'm glad I got caught writing it.
Right.
So he was like, you got to change it up because now they know. So I was like, all right, whatever. So then he was like, you should write Scent. And I was like, word, that sounds dope.
Wait, why? How? It's a beautiful name.
He said, because we were just thinking of names. Like, we were just chilling. Like, you know, me being all like sad boy, just like, damn, I got busted, I'm in trouble. My mom, you know, beat my ass, woo woo. And he was just like, we were just chilling on the curb, just drawing up names. He's like, yo, what about Heaven Sent, since you're like all into your faith and all that? And I was like, yo, that sounds dope, Sent, Heaven Sent. So I just wrote Sent from there. And that was probably like junior year.
Did you run with a crew there, or was it just you and him?
Me and him, like, he had a crew. It was called CDK, which only lasted a little bit. Just high school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So me and him. But now he's in a crew called GA.
Still in Phoenix?
It's still in Phoenix. There's some people out here, actually, randomly, that are in GA, like Little Village, yeah.
Oh. So post-high school, how long were you there until you came here?
Post-high school, I graduated in 04. I don't know. I'm not good at math. So what is it, 6 years?
Well
I moved out of my mama's house at 17, moved to Orlando, Florida for a year, then moved back to Phoenix.
Yeah, what were you doing there?
Man, I got into this little scheme where like Disney World, they hired college students to work for them for dirt cheap. Yeah, and they say it is pipe dream. So I did that, but I met my boy. I don't know if you know Tori Torsion. He does photography. He's a B-boy from Chicago Tribe. I met him out there. Yeah. But we did that. Yeah, he's a cool dude, and we're both in that little scheme, Disney World scheme.
What were you doing? Were you like
I was a Mickey janitor.
Mouse? You're a janitor. Damn.
But I could have tried out for Mickey Mouse because like I met the height requirements.
Oh, be in the costume?
Wow. Yeah. Damn. Wow. That's sizest.
I could have did that.
Yeah.
Sizest.
Yeah.
True.
Which I should have, looking back. That would have been a great story.
I don't know. Those were
scary. I feel like this interview would have been great if I had that story.
I think it's still good, man. Yeah. You know, yeah.
I mean, we're not really focused on the Mickey Mouse part.
Right,
but...
right. Yeah, yeah. This isn't a Disney
Everything
funded...
Everything else is boring. I don't know.
You worked at what is it? World is in...
Walt Disney World, Orlando, yep.
And they have... I understand that they have like a whole underground network and prison and a bunch of fuck shit that happens
all
under...
That.
Right?
Mm-hmm. All that.
Mean?
They brainwash you once you get there.
What?
All that.
This is for real. This is not hyperbole. Like you're dead ass, right?
A little. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's yeah.
But how do they brainwash you?
Well, they give you like a full day where you just sit there and watch like video training, and they're like,
Fantasia.
When you're working, you're on stage. You're not working. You're a part of the cast. You're a part of the Disney magic.
Oh,
it's all that.
Part of the magic.
Yeah, it's all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got out of there though. After fairly quickly.
Yeah, you could do a year, half a year. I did half a year. And
then you
I went back to Phoenix.
Okay.
I went back to Phoenix a new man.
So. Fuck Disney.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the part of the reason why, the city and then now the world has taken notice is because of your figure work, your mm-hmm. illustrative work.
Yeah.
I would describe the character as like a bird boy, and I don't know if that's how you describe it at all, but it's basically like a young man who also often dons a bird mask.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. How would you describe that character? And I'm also
but like, where did it come from?
Right, and where did it come from? Yeah,
yeah. It's a bird mask. A lot of times, people say it's like a bird character.
Right,
but
it's a clearly a mask.
Yeah, I want to make that distinction because I want people to know there's like humanity behind it.
Yeah, I think it took me a while to notice that it was a mask and not, you know, his face.
But that's why the narration of this character over time is interesting as you begin to know the body of work. But yeah, again, how does it come about?
A lot of little things kind of accumulated for me. But the idea of a bird being able to fly away, I think is dope. That's the main thing. Just thinking like as a kid, because I remember as a kid, I seen a dead raven in my front yard. And I was just tripping out, like, yo, it's so weird, like, a bird in my front yard dead, like, when you always see birds fly, and I just thought that was, like, kind of weird to me, so I just always held on to that memory, and then just always, like, the idea of being able to fly away and escape, and I feel like my work has a lot of, like, escapism, like, undertones of wanting to stay free, get free, like, liberty, like, all that, so for me, that's the perfect symbol. Is a bird because it's so like it's such a small and like humble timid creature, but it still has that ability to like get away and be free.
Yeah.
I just want to know how your like culture, how it plays into your work. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's like overt necessarily. So.
Yeah. It's not overt. I just try to be honest in my work, like genuine. Like reflect who I am and where I come from, because I feel like it's only going to empower like the youngsters that see it, that were in my shoes. So I try to be honest in like what I do, but I also don't want to be stereotypical like in my work. Like how I grew up, it was a lot of like, or at least right now, even in like Chicano culture, it's like draw a skull and draw very typical, you know, imagery. And to me, that's cool and it's dope. But I already see it, so I always want to do something a little bit different, but still be honest in my culture and how I grew up or how I live.
I mean, that's why I'm wondering if the young person or the body or the human in the character, is that Is that you? Is that autobiographic in part? I mean, are you also beginning to, you know, tell over multiple pieces your own history and story?
For sure. Yeah, that's for sure how it, like, came about. Just taking pieces of my life. But then I try to make it to where anybody can relate to it. Anybody can see it. And they might not know the full backstory, but they can relate to it. And hopefully I can inspire them. But at the end of the day, I have to be honest with myself, a lot of it is for me trying to get my story out or how I feel and reflect on that through why I got into this art. You know, I got into it in high school and I'm still doing it and it's like still helping me. I never got into art to make a career out of it per se, or I never got into it with ambitions, or I never seen nobody become full-time artists. Like, I didn't even know what an artist really was, or at least I didn't know. Like, as a kid, I never went to a museum or an art gallery, or I didn't know anybody in my family. So I just did it. I got into it because of graffiti, and I just thought it was dope. So now I'm still doing it.
Well, shit, what is the backstory? You said, I mean, we got time. You know what I mean? Like, what is the backstory of how, like, when did you, you're like, yo, shit, this is it. This is the character I'm going to run with, or, you know, how did.
I really don't know how it was an evolution. But how I got into art, I got to talk about this story because it defines me a lot too. Like, in school, someone came to my school and it was a Chicano muralist. His name was Martin Moreno. He came to my school, and from there I was exposed to art and I thought it was super dope. And that's a lot of like why I do stuff like at Yola Cali and Little Village and work with youth, because I was like, if somebody didn't come to my school and put me on game and show me what's going on, who knows what I would be doing in my life. So so from there, just picking up art, picking up graffiti, and then in a lot of my like letters, I would just, now I don't do any letters really, but I used to do a lot of letters with characters, or like S-E-N-T, my E would be like the bird head, or it'd be like a character. And I used to just do birds a lot, just draw the birds. Then I was like, yo, it'd be dope if I drew how do I show that there's a person that wants to fly, or a person that wants to be a bird type of thing? So I just like, and then in Mexican culture, is like a lot of masks, you know? Like the mask, or if you look in almost, you know, any Mexican culture or holiday or whatever, like you're going to see a mask because it's like all about symbolism.
Does the mask ever come off? The boy.
Yeah, but I know we want to see it.
Why?
It's not worth taking. I don't know. It's just a face after that, I guess. Yeah. But I don't really do it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird.
Do you think you will? I mean, yeah, because I mean,
fucking mask off. No.
Yeah. But I wonder. Like, I mean, do you think about future iterations of that character as you progress? As your style progresses? Is, you know, if this bird mask, you know, boy or bird mask young man, what the evolutionary stages are? Or are you not at that point yet?
If it does evolve, it would just be more of. It would just be more into like my art style in general, like the way I create, as opposed to one central figure. Because I feel like that one central figure is saying what I wanted to say. After that, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, but there is a lot of text in your piece, especially increasingly, right? I mean, your last big show at Gallery F, there was a lot of narrative text, it seemed like, in some of the pieces, both small and large.
Kevin, is that the one we took my class to?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that one was dope.
Right?
It had, like, the birdhouses.
Yes.
Yeah. And wasn't one, like, 2 Chainz related? Am I making that up completely?
I'm making that up. I feel like there, it, like no that comment. Album there was, that. Oh, no comment.
I don't know.
Okay, but that album dropped at a similar time.
Yeah, you know what
the
I'm talking
pink,
about.
Yeah, the pink trap house.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Okay, yes. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But it had nothing to do with each other.
Wait, did it?
Not.
Oh, it was a coincidence.
It was just in the ether.
At that same time.
Yeah,
and then it was like I was painting these houses, and it's like
I was like.
Like
you were painting these houses?
Well, I was painting
the birdhouses.
Yeah, the little sculptures. Yeah.
And these were 3D, sculptural pieces that also, inside of the house was another drawing or image.
Yeah.
That was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I think you said that in the gallery that day.
I definitely did. I was like, am I crazy?
You're like, you doing Two Chainz records now?
Yeah, for sure. Well, because I listen to music all the time.
Oh, and it's true. Like, whatever. Did you listen to that?
Yeah, because I think his album just came out.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever I'm listening to or whatever pops in my head, I usually, it'll probably come out of my canvas or my artwork somehow.
Let's go get Two Chainz, let him know.
Right.
You know?
I know, send him a birdhouse.
Yeah.
The mail.
But in that show, there was all that narration.
Yeah, there was dope. It was different. So that's why at first I didn't realize it was you, you know?
Yeah.
I guess I'm just used to seeing your murals, mostly.
And it was...
Yeah, that's why I like doing shows like that, because it allows me to kind of... stretch
explore.
Out and
Well, I guess in that regard, I mean, you know, for the next little, I am curious about the career, about how you make a living as a visual artist. I mean, at this point, are you doing things other than?
I have a question before that.
Okay, please.
I want to know why you stayed here. You know,
because
I mean,
it's the illest city on planet Earth. You already know.
Right? Okay, but as a transplant, which I am too, like you know, you came to school, you dropped out. Like, what made you want to stay?
Well, I went back home and I just realized, like, I don't know, it's just not time for me to go back. Plus working here, and when you move to a new city, a new environment, you got to know who you are. And back in Phoenix, I moved out like at 25. So I was doing my thing already and people knew me and it was cool, but it was like, I wasn't content. Like, I feel like I have to do more. I have to grow. I have to learn. So I came out here, and within a year, I, you know, started doing, I had my first solo show at Elephant Room across from Columbia, which was dope. And yeah, I just came out here and I was like, I got to hustle and grind. And that's what I did. And I just knew, like, man, this city really shows me love. Like, there's really no point in leaving, because I always thought about going to LA, which, you know, which a lot of people from Phoenix, they go to LA. That's the next biggest city.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, but I don't know. Something about the city just keeps me here, and the culture and the history and the people and people like you, Kevin, everybody. Yep.
Okay, you may continue with your question.
No, it's okay. I mean, in part, it's because you grind so hard that I think Chicago rocks with you heavy.
Yeah, this city definitely, like, the culture appreciates that hustle, like that grind, like, and respect. There's definitely a respect level.
Yeah,
that people give. Yeah,
I think it's because we love our artists because we consider our artists to be workers, you know. So if you put in that work, we're gonna rock with you,
right?
But what does that look like for you? I mean, what is your, because you don't have other gigs, right? You get this bread off of your labor of painting.
My main income is off of commission, like mural work, my studio, my gallery stuff. And then right now I'm teaching at, I do After School Matters and After Class.
Oh.
Art class, yeah.
I've done that.
It's cool. Where I'm at right now is cool. And the class I have is dope. I like it.
Where is it?
In Little Village, 28th and Ridgeway at Yolo Cali.
Oh, yeah.
Is a street art class.
Oh, wow. That seems outrageous to have a street art class in a city that criminalizes street art.
It really is.
Oh, which, yeah, I forgot. It's government funded.
Government funded.
How
and
ironic.
Also mad illegal in the city of Chicago, right? We're in a peculiar time for the forum in that way, right? Do you find, I mean, given that you do, so you're commissioned to do murals, not only in this city, but other cities. Where have you been? Where are some of, I mean, and I know you've been around.
I've been a lot of places in the U.S., United States. I haven't left the country yet. That's my goal, hopefully. Get my passport and leave and travel. But I've been everywhere. New York, L.A., Miami.
I just saw something you did in L.A. I just saw something you did in Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa. Right?
I've seen your work in Wynwood and in Miami. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, dope.
I've been
that's
fortunate.
Like the arts district, right?
Yeah.
Yep, Wynwood is dope, super raw, all over, a lot of places. Yeah.
And then you also continue to sell like these smaller individual paintings and 3D pieces like we saw at the Gallery F show. So that hustle, I mean, so how do you manage your own business? How do you take those emails, those calls, those DMs on?
Do you got a manager?
Right.
No, I don't have a manager.
Wow. All solo?
Yeah, it's all solo. Well, I work in a lot of collaboration with Gallery F in Logan mm-hmm. Square. Billy, he helps out a lot as far as like merch and product and piece like canvases or, you know, my studio work. If I ever have something, I can drop it off to him, and you know, his gallery is open 4 or 5 days a week, and they get a lot of foot traffic, and they have a lot of returning clientele. And he helps me a lot. Like at the end of the month, you know, he cuts me my check, and yeah, helps me keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah, and then the mural stuff. You know, if you get a good mural that can last you, you know, a few months, you pay your rent for a few months, you can live off that check for a little bit, and knowing how to flip it and turn around and invest it and into, you know, however you want to make your next artwork or whatever you want to do next, whether it's something small like T-shirts or something small like stickers, prints. That way you always have some type of product that people can come back to you for and pick that up. And yeah, you always have money coming in. So that's my goal right now. My goal is to do like 1-2 solo shows a year, make like 50 to 75 thousand, just pay my rent.
Off a solo show?
Off of 1 or 2 solos, yeah.
Is that?
I said that's my goal.
I know, okay. I know. It. Get your set rock down.
Right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, but that's real. I mean, but you do at this point, you do have collectors. Is that's fair to say, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I'm like that's a very crazy. Low key scent rock collector. I don't have that kind of bread yet.
No,
but I mean,
you're one of the first for sure. You jumped on early and I'm appreciative.
I know, man. You better buy your
card
now.
I don't know why. I was trying to figure out why you rock my work.
Because you're dope, G. What do you mean? Because
I want to know when you first found out about him.
Me too.
Well, damn, on the spot. I don't know, man. I pay a lot of attention to what's happening in the street, I guess. And so I feel like I must have seen you out in the public space. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever, I don't know how we connected, but I hit you up. I came to the spot you used to stay in, yeah. On Armitage.
Mm-hmm. Armitage, Milwaukee.
Yeah. And it was just on some like, yo, what up? And then he was so slick though. He's like, yeah, I mean, before you go, like, I got all these panties wrapped up in the back if you want to like check them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And of course, and I left with one because I'm like, damn. And it was, but it was like, that was early in it.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I think what I personally was always like interested in from jump and now continuously is that it was the mask. Is that I read it as a mask early, and so I was always, you know, fascinated with the character that existed underneath that specter, you know. So in some ways it's like I was always interested in, I think, in who was telling that story.
Yeah.
And in some ways I related, like, you know, like on some, like, you know,
escapism.
Paul Lawrence Dunbar, we wear the mask type shit. You know what I mean? Like even like a sense of like double consciousness or the necessity to present perhaps a way in public, but also who you are on the real.
Right.
And some of the dichotomy in that relationship. You know what I mean?
If you ask Kevin, he always gonna give that kind of answer. So
no, it's super dope hearing people talk about my work.
You asked,
no,
my
it's
dude.
Dope. It's dope.
It's dope hearing people tell me stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that is, yeah, yeah, that is what, no, it means. Yeah. You know, I learn more when people tell me.
Of course, yeah, that's dope.
Yeah,
but you do a lot of stuff with Secret Walls, right?
Secret Walls, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout
Can
out
we
to
talk
Terry.
About that?
Yep. Andrew, those guys.
Is it Chicago based?
It's LA based, okay. But dude is from London.
Yeah, London.
Oh. But you know, so and that is one of the spaces I just saw. I just saw a mural that you did in the Secret Wall space.
Yeah,
in LA. Offices.
In LA. But what we are talking about, and Scent Rock just did a Secret Walls battle at the Metro at the block party, and then we are talking
that was
about
super dope, by the way.
I
and
saw
you
the
crushed
one over the summer.
At true East at the East Room.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was dope squad too. I was with Max and Ello and
right. That was wild. I also did Tara is the Duchess
Shut
of the East
up.
Room. What you just you
she's
set yourself
there.
Up, dude?
No.
Literally always there.
Yeah.
As you just, she's like, oh yeah, I saw it at my home. I saw
yeah,
it at my second
yeah, yeah.
my home.
Oh,
away
my
from
backyard.
Home.
I went
yeah,
in my backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually, used to be my backyard. Damn near. Not anymore.
Anyway, but Secret Walls is a illustrative is a illustrator battle. Event,
yeah, freestyle battle,
and Terry is talking about we want to do a Chicago league.
Oh, it's tight.
That sounds dope.
Like we're maybe like over a season, like you battle over a season, and then we have like a
ultimate.
Like a
well, we
Super
do,
Bowl type
right,
shit.
City versus city type of thing. They used to have breaking battles called City vs. City out here. So
breaking battles.
When I was in high school, I used to watch City vs. City.
I used to go to those shits.
Yeah, I was in high school watching and be like, yo, I got to go to Chicago and see this. Like,
Chicago versus Milwaukee.
In that video.
Yeah. I'm in the background be like,
I don't know. I think Chicago could be anybody.
For Chicago is
the Chicago squad.
What'd he say?
Chicago State's the illest is what St. Rock says.
Oh, I see.
If but you're right,
give me Max Sensing on my side and we'll take anybody.
Oh. Ooh. That's a deadly combination, though.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah. No, Max is a dude. Well, all right. So I guess, you know, so what, you know, you kind of laid out a bit of the future, right? Mm-hmm. And where you're headed. I mean, what do you want your own outside of the crib studio space? Like, what does it look like for you, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? How do you progress as an artist and as a business person?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, for sure. It's about getting a bigger studio space. It's about being more international. Going bigger, that's always the goal, bigger. And just, so you got the business side, but also me as an artist, how do I top what I did last year? It's like, all right, if I did 50 murals, how do I double that? You know, that's when the summertime comes, it's like, all right, it's time to get to work.
Yeah.
And then, but just even pushing yourself creatively. I think, how can I just go bigger and better? And you know, I've had the opportunities to work with brands and corporations, and that's super dope because people that like my work, they think it's amazing. But for me, it's cool, but I just like being able to, how can I build this up from the ground? How can I build this up from the dirt? How do I not rely on a company or rely on somebody? How do we build it up and how do we take it to the next level? Like, even my, like, work that I do with the youth, like how do I make those parallel, me as an artist full-time, but also me as a, you know, as a, I guess, as a instructor or a teacher, so to speak. How am I able to like combine those things and do really dope stuff?
Yeah, but like for a writer, it's writing a book, right? Or like for a musician, it's touring or putting out an album. Like, what is that kind of piece that you're, you know, working towards?
Usually as far as like a statement piece, almost like I related to like an album, it would be having that solo show where you're able to show your body of work for that year or 2 years, where you're at mentally, where you're at in your creative space. I think that's it. Being able to do one huge solo show and really showing out, because like there's a saying in the art world, like you're only as good as your last show. So that's a big thing for me that I keep in mind moving forward.
I mean, the MCA should like really step up and start having these kinds of spaces for.
Do they not?
No.
Not really for graffiti?
No.
Yeah.
No, they're old and played and, you know, like,
I mean, the
very
Tekashi
corny
thing is like the coolest thing I feel like I've seen in a while.
Yeah. And Tekashi's every now and again, they get it right. But
they
like,
throw something,
like,
yeah.
But like, your solo show at a space like the MCA, would be ill. And that's what I think is meant by the term contemporary. But, you know, folks are also like behind the times in a lot of ways. And
Chicago Cultural Center, they do a lot of dope shows.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. I'll give them that. Like, I don't know who's curating that space.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of very dope stuff.
My man Nathan. I mean, we should have him on the show, actually. He's one of the folks for sure. He's a good
dude. Definitely on the pulse of really dope stuff.
Yeah, and they pay attention to what's happening here for the most part, which is exciting. That's dope. I have a lot of who are some of the brands that you have worked with that you rock with, and you don't have to name names, but how do brands get it wrong when they approach artists, creatives in your estimation? You also can name names if you want.
I won't say names, but I'll just say, in general, I feel like there's a person, the agency, the creative agency or the ad agency or whoever is that middle person to the brand. Because it's never just, it's not like Jordan calling me up from the offices like, yo.
Hey, yo, Sam, it's Mike.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, man. Exactly. Hey, I'm wearing mom jeans right now and I'm voting for Jesse Helms. What's good?
Hey, I need politics. You to paint this thing downtown. Is it cool? You know, it's like they have some random person of the agency that want to do something.
Oh, someone they've hired.
And a lot of times they want, they're basically, they have the idea and they want you to run with it, or they want you to take it over and manage it, and which sometimes is cool, but sometimes it's like, why is there a middleman? Like, allow the artist to take over and really do some dope stuff, as opposed to these agencies that, not always, but sometimes they get in the middle and it just kind of doesn't allow the artist to be the artist. Like, the artist is the show, or like the entertainment, which is, you know, nothing wrong, but if you're having a whole event around art or creativity or whatever it is, like, you got to allow that to be the focus and be created that way.
In that the opposite end of things, who are some of the brands that you've enjoyed, like, even personally as an artist, what have you been excited about making or doing, and what are you proud of, I guess?
What do you mean exactly?
Just in terms of, like, who you've worked with where you're like, oh shit, I stand by that work. I was excited to work with X brand or whatever it was.
The last brand I worked with was Reebok, and they gave me a budget to do some really cool stuff, to have a show in their space, and I called it Soul to the Streets, and I had like Tubbs and Ollie Six and Kayla Mahaffrey, Yvette Marioga.
So you curated it and also had your work in it?
Yeah, oh, so we curated this cool thing. We had an exhibition b-boy battle with like Chicago Tribe and Brickheads.
Did you get DJs. Down? Did you do a little groundwork?
I did get down a little bit, yeah, of course. You know, if there's music and there's breaks. And
look, I saw you at the block party, like, you know, doing a quick,
yeah, of course.
Top it's, rock, yeah.
Yeah. So, what else have Nike, Jordan, I don't know. There's a lot, you know, a lot of cool companies that hit me up to do so, which I'm always grateful for. It's not like always. So when they do come in my inbox, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. I think we're going to ask you about like your influences, but just in that way, if folks do want to be in tune with you, where can they find you? Where can they get you?
Probably Instagram is probably the easiest. It's just at Centrock, Centrock.
Cool. Yeah. And what about what you're...
find me on Vero. Just kidding.
Why? I didn't read about it. Why is it problematic?
Wait, is it problematic?
That's what everyone said. It was shady.
The person who started it, the owner. Shady. Yeah.
Oh, really?
For what reason, though?
I guess he had another prior company that he never paid his employees, and it went under, and he just kind of like, oh, all right, moving on to the next thing. That's what I read. That's what I read.
Crazy.
Damn. So, you know, you mentioned music a lot. Like, what are you listening to? Who are you rocking with? What are you excited by?
Music?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Nipsey Hussle, anybody local that's killing it. Saba is always dope. I know he's coming out with some new stuff. Who else? Of course, Chance. Of course, anything West Coast, like Kendrick, TDE, all that.
Black Panther.
Yeah, that album was super raw. Yeah.
What
Selection.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
Always play them
true.
In the studio, like just the vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to the radio show?
Did I go?
Yeah, Joe K was just here.
I did. That's the night I got my wisdom tooth pulled.
Oh, no. Damn.
I know, and I was just like...
Were you on, Matt? Nah. Were you on... Did you take, like, a lot of drugs?
It looked like someone hit me with a brick on the side of my face. So
you only got one side?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got both, and I definitely looked like a chipmunk.
Yeah.
Not cute.
I low-key liked getting my wisdom teeth out because they gave me the whatever gas.
Oh, okay.
And then I had, like, an out-of-body experience where I was, like, looking at my body, getting the shits out.
Nuh-uh.
See,
for
that's
real.
Dope. See, they didn't give me the shot.
Yeah, man.
Oh, no,
like,
no.
Local. Like, all right, we're
the
local anesthesia, right?
Yeah, it's like,
all
right, whatever.
They were like, no, they gave me a whole shit. Yeah. And who are now visual artists that you check for or have checked for? Who are some of the folks in terms of street art, graffiti maybe, that you, or, you know, other spaces that you are influenced by, excited by?
Yeah, well, off tops, Chris Silva.
Yo.
He's a local, born and raised here.
Sounds Chris. Familiar.
Yeah, he's great.
That's one of the reasons I moved to Chicago, too, in high school, seeing him.
Fuck.
I remember emailing him, like, hey, Chris, I'm doing my senior paper in my art class. Is it cool if I do it on you? Like, and he's the nicest guy in the world.
The nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, he's like, of course, him. Whatever you need.
Shout out to him and Lauren, his wife, his whole family, his squad. Yep. Yeah.
So I did... I did my my art class senior paper thing on him. And
that's why. And how did you know him? I mean, how did you know of him?
It's so random. He was on some like graffiti blog, and I was just on it looking up different writers, and his name was Chris Silva, and that was a homie I grew up with. His name was Chris Silva, and I was like, yo, my guy made it. He made it on this website, and I clicked on it, and it was Chris Silva from here, and it was like, it just blew my mind, because at that time, nobody was really doing what Chris Silva was doing. Yeah. As far as his aesthetic and his vibe about it, like,
cut out that street, 3D.
He was one of the first like street artists. You know, a lot of writers hate that term now. They hate that term, street artist. But he definitely had that. What is today as street art? Like, he had that vibe. And so yeah, who else is out there? It's so many. Like, you got like so many dope people in this city. Brandon Bro always inspires me. All his creativity. Who else? It's so much. Runzy, I know you interviewed Emma.
Yeah.
Stitch God.
Yeah.
Likes One, Ruben Aguirre, of course. Max, of course. Ello. Man, there's so many. There's yeah, too man. Much.
Chicago's a good spot, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's yeah, dope. We're never gonna let go of you, man. You know. I don't know.
Wait,
yeah.
Do you consider yourself a street artist?
I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the issue?
I embrace that term.
Term.
Because I think it comes from street art now. What it is so overcapitalized and it's so like exploited. And a lot, if you look at a lot of the street artists that are the majority, is a lot of people that didn't have any involvement in the streets, and they went to like art school.
Oh, what
and
they're really mirrorless. Street art is more.
Yeah,
highbrow.
It's just because it's cool. It's the
outside
it's the
studio
hot,
art. But kind of like outside
yeah,
art.
It's right. Like the hot term. Like, oh, these street artists.
Right, I got you.
And it's like, you know, I cringe at it too, but I embrace it.
I mean, because y'all, yeah. You know, you grew up doing that shit in the street, right? So right.
Yeah, but even my homies are like, you know, they kind of, you know, the homies I grew up with, they're like, they frown on it because it's like.
So what are they?
And I know
themselves?
It too. I know. I kind of cringe, but.
Is there an alternate term?
No, I embrace it. I just hope it changes. It goes back to, like, if you're a street artist, give back to the streets or be from that environment or be from some background. That's my hope, is that it goes into a more genuine, like, term.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, look, you already know. We appreciate you, man.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
No. Thank you. And I'm so excited for all the work that you do and will do. The Gallery F show is going to be fire. I'm excited for the Secret Walls League.
That sounds crazy.
We're talking
that
about also dope. A school yeah. walls program. Terry wants to
we
do
gotta
like
do
like
that.
For yeah, yeah for your students
yeah,
and have them battle other students from other schools. You know, make like a lot of it a bomb before
yeah. That's fine.
Illustrators. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's yeah, man. Look forward to the continuation of all the work and salutes, man. Thanks for being here.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Let's go. Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Nelson for the logo and art.
Big up WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.